That's paraphrased or written from Psalm 23. Go there now with me, Psalm 23. Make it singable. And the thought has always occurred to me, what a amazing harp player, guitar player, singer David must have been. These are difficult for us to sing, aren't they? Difficult to play, put to music. 150 songs David wrote, most of them, and he sang them and he played them. And maybe the Hebrew language is a little more poetic than our English language. Maybe it rhymed better, but they're hard for us to sing, aren't they? But it's good. But have you ever thought about that? He must have been the best, Wesley, best guitar player ever. I'm just certain of it. Singer, would you have loved to heard him sing? Best singer ever until the Lord came. They said, no man spake like this man. Oh, how he must have sung. Oh, he sung from his heart. And I bet he sang out loud, didn't he? Psalm 23, this is a very familiar psalm to most. One time, somebody went to hear a fellow preach, a well-known preacher, and the comment afterward was, boy, he sure knows that psalm. And then later they heard an old man quote it from the heart, and they said, he knows the shepherd. There's a difference. Very familiar psalm. I hope it'll be brand new to us. Maybe more needful now, more precious than ever. David is a writer. All of these messages today, hope for God's glory. But secondly, I hope build us up on this faith. Faith means to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And the Lord, more than anything else, said to his people, fear not. More than anything, he kept saying that. Fear not. He didn't fear. Did you hear the first message? I hope you did. Our Lord didn't fear. He knew that when his hour was come, nothing, no one could stop it. And that's why he came. And he set his face like a flint. It's the same with us, people. It's the same with us. Our hour, when it's come, you can't stop it. And who brings it? The Lord does. Just like he did his son. Well, David's whole life was surrounded with danger. His whole life. From a young boy. He's faced with danger, and he faced danger. He went out to face danger, didn't he? We think, Tom, he's only about 16 or 18 years old when he went out against Goliath. The Goliath's 8.5 feet. A hardened soldier. He killed, no telling how many people he killed, single-handed, with his bare hand. David's a shepherd. What did he do? Give us more Davids, huh? Make us like David. David's surrounded by danger, death. This whole psalm is written to increase our faith and relieve our fears. The last verse, as I said, if we had a text, a title, it'd be, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're not going to dwell here for long. We're going to dwell here exactly the amount of time the Lord has us dwell here. No more, no less. The earthly house of our tabernacle will be dissolved. We have a house made in heavens by the Lord. And who determines that? He does. And so he says, surely. And I'm getting way ahead of myself. But I can't wait. Goodness and mercy. Didn't he say, all things work together? What? Then he cannot lie. Why don't we believe it? Surely it follows us. We go, and I am getting ahead, but I can't help it. We go through things, they look evil, they look dangerous, they look this, they look that. Oh my, we're worried about it. He said, just wait, you'll see what's following. This looks evil. This looks bad. It looks hopeless. Hold on. Mercy is following this. Goodness is up right on the heels of this. You'll see. Wait. Remember, David's the one who said that. I'd have fainted unless I'd believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the house of living. I mean, he'd gone through all these troubles, all these trials, all this danger. He said, but I'm going to wait. I'm going to live my life, trust in the Lord, do what he told me to do without fear, without worry, and I'm going to wait and I'm going to see the Lord's true goodness. It's been good. I'm going to see. It's all going to follow. It's going to show me it's been good. Hasn't it been good? All mercy. All mercy. All right, that's the last verse. David was a shepherd from a boy. He was given sheep by his father. What a picture David is of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a shepherd from the beginning. And even when before he was king, his brothers despised him and rejected him. Said what? Like he came to see about them. The father sent David to see about his brothers. Remember, bring them some food. And his older brothers that resented him, that despised him and rejected him. What a picture that is of Christ. Came to his own, they received him not. And they said, where you been, boy? Remember when they said to Christ, you're not 50 years old. You going to teach us? He's so meek and lowly with him. He didn't strive with potship. But those brothers of David said, where you been? He said, been keeping the sheep. All this time. And he came to save them that didn't want him to come. Man. If he hadn't come, they would have perished, wouldn't they? The ones that despised him. And that's not my story. And yet it is. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ. David was a shepherd. He was given sheep by the father, Jesse. He was a good shepherd. He loved those sheep. He watched over those sheep. He led those sheep. He fed those sheep. He protected those sheep. He defended those sheep. One time, a lion and a bear came and got one little lamb. How many sheep did he have? I bet he had a lot. Hundreds? Thousands? How could he watch over that? He can't. They came to get, and they got one little lamb. What's one lamb? What did he do? You know what he did, Captain? He went after that one. He left all those sheep and went after that one lamb. Lion and bear, slew them both. Young boy. Slew them both. To get one little lamb. Isn't that a picture of Christ? He protected them. He defended them. Later on, he's a grown man. When he wrote this, he's a grown man. King of Israel. Is he sitting back on the hillside? Is he watching some sheep again? Maybe. Probably. And he's thinking back over his life. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. David was a good shepherd, sister. He's a good shepherd, wasn't he? Great shepherd. He never lost one sheep. One little lamb he went after. It doesn't matter who the foe was. He's not taking this little lamb. What a shepherd. David said, the Lord's my shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? Do you understand? Do I understand? You have nothing to worry about. Do you understand that? Why? Not because we live in the United States, the most powerful nation in the world. Not because we have all the technology. Because the Lord is our shepherd. Do you understand that? That truck cannot crash, Brother Joseph. It cannot. Unless he decided. Because he's your shepherd. David didn't lose one.
Didn't our Lord say in John 17, all that thou gavest me I have kept. None of them is lost. Didn't he say that? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he? None of them. Until his time. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that? Oh, I hope you can. David said, in saying, the Lord is my shepherd, David is saying, I'm a sheep. I'm a poor, ignorant. Anybody been around sheep? They're poor, they're ignorant. They're not smart animals. They're not smart at all. They're dumb. They need a shepherd. They can't do nothing without a shepherd. They are totally helpless without a shepherd. There's not a more frail, not a more ignorant, not a more helpless, not a more dependent animal on the earth. That's why the Lord chose sheep as an emblem of us. Our Lord said one time, without me, you can do nothing. But with Christ, all things. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God. David says, thank God. Because I'm so weak. I'm so helpless. I'm so dumb. I'm so ignorant. Thank God. The Lord is my shepherd. He says, now I shall not want. Shall not want. I shall not lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. I shall not need anything. You know what the psalm before this is? The psalm of the cross. Psalm 23 is the psalm of the shepherd. Right after the psalm of the cross is the psalm of the shepherd. Okay? The psalm of the cross is all that Christ endured for his sheep. Everything that Christ endured for his sheep in Psalm 22. Look, the very first verse is what he cried from the cross. My God, my God. Why hast thou forsaken me? And went on and on to talk about Christ on the cross. Someone said they believe he quoted that whole psalm on the cross. Maybe. But so David says after that psalm, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen to Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, if the Lord is my shepherd, who can be against us? What? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All needs. God gave his son come down here to die for his people. And we're worried about food or a house payment? Come on. He gave that such an unspeakable gift. How shall he not with that freely give us all things? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he goes on in this psalm to talk about provisions, protection, guidance, righteousness, comfort, correction, communion, or companionship. You reckon, David, I think about this. You reckon David got real close to those sheep? I think he did. Catherine, I believe he loved those sheep. But the sheep, he didn't love them, don't they? I believe he did. I'm quite sure he did. You reckon he took some of those lambs in his arm and petted them? You think, I know he did. They don't need petting, they're just service animals. I need petting. Don't you? I need to take me and his arms. I'm a whole lot worse than those animals. Oh, I'm just certain of it. I'm just certain that he petted them. Think he spoke to them? Think about it. You think he spoke to those dumb animals? I can't. They don't understand you. No, he spoke to them. That's a good picture of him. Sure he did. And he listened with sympathy. He listened with sympathy as they're bleeding. They're buying. They're crying, even the smallest little lamb, didn't it? You listen carefully. They're groanings that could not be uttered. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, shall not lack, shall not need anything. He maketh me, verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Back then, back in these days, there were no fences. Mostly, no fences. Wide open spaces. You had to be a good shepherd. There were no, there'd be a fold at nighttime often they'd bring them all into. But for the most part, the pastures were not fenced in. David is king. You're not going to fence his. What are you going to fence in? It's all his. So his cattle are free. And this is what our Lord said. They'll go in and out and find pasture. In and out. They're free. They're not bound. They're free. They're out there. But he's watching over them, okay? And they're everywhere. And there's nothing David likes more than to feed those sheep and water. You know what I mean? He would lead them to the best pasture. He would lead those sheep into the greenest pasture and find still water. Somebody said this, I don't know if it's true, but somebody said sheep don't like to drink from rapidly flowing water. They like still water. So he'd lead them to a calm, quiet little, still waters run deep. He'd lead them to green pastures and still waters and where they would eat to their so content that they would just lie down. We had horses and I used to love nothing more. I didn't like to ride. But I liked to feed them. I loved to feed them. I got great joy in just feeding them. Brother Charles used to love to just sit there and listen to them. And I loved getting that pasture. Man, we had Timothy and Orchard and Blue. It was that thing. It was hot. And I just loved colic. I didn't worry about that. Forget that. No. And they just eat and eat and eat. And I love to fill up those water troughs. I love, Brother West, I'd fill it till it's running over. Fresh water. Drink. Eat. And old Molly, the biggest of the bunch, she would. And she'd eat and then she'd just fall down on her side and she'd even try to eat some more. And then she fell asleep. Rest. Now horses are prey animals. They're animals of prey. This is why the Lord equips them to take off running as soon as they're born. Why? There's so many predators after. You got everything after. Wolves. All right. A horse won't lie down unless it feels safe. And my horses, they all lie down. You understand the picture. All right, we're here. Mm-hmm. You're not here by accident. The Lord made you come here. Against all your fears. To lie down in these green pastures and steal your soul. But he said, rest. Mm-hmm. The Lord says, I am your shepherd. Do you understand that? Do you? It's all good. Isaiah 30 where he says, their strength is to sit still. And returning and rest. Where? Returning where? To whom coming? To Christ. Coming into his fold. Coming where his word is preached. Where his people gather. And they all gather strength. They all eat to their fullest. And they all drink the water of life, and they all just rest, free from fear, free from worry. Why? Because the Lord's our shepherd. Where would we be without these green pastures? Huh? Starving. Where would we be without this soul-stealing water of life? Where would we be? Fretful, fearful, worried, out there, scared to death. Oh Lord, make me, make me. Make me lie down. Huh? Lie down. Be still. Know that I've got. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. This is what restores our soul. We lost everything in Adam. We lost everything in Adam. Adam didn't have any fear. Adam didn't have any sin. Adam didn't have any need. Adam didn't have any worry. Adam didn't need anybody. He had God. God. He had it all. Melvin, what did he do? Sin against God. So what did he do? He lost all that. He lost his mind. He lost his heart. He lost his understanding. He lost communion with God. Now he feels like he's alone. He lost his strength. He lost his courage. Now he's scared to death. What's he scared of? What's he scared of? Adam lost it all. He's worried. Our Lord Jesus Christ came walking in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? Look at you. I was afraid. Why are you afraid? Sin. Sin. That's why we fear. Sin. Sin. You know, that's why we fear. That's why we fear everything. Sin. We fear death. Why? Sin. Even believers think, my sin is going to be my undoing. God's going to judge me because of my sin. When I die, you fear dying because I don't know if I'm one of the Lord's or not. I don't know if I'll go to heaven or not. Maybe He'll cast me out. Why? Sin. All right, look at the next verse, or part of verse 3. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. What is His name say? You know how few people know what righteousness is or even care? You know how few preachers talk about righteousness? 500 times in the Scriptures. 500 times. You know how few people ever bring it up? You know how few people ever ask what it is and why we have must need it and all? None. We know. Righteousness. We need a righteousness. I know you hear it a lot and preachers dwell on it a lot, but brethren, God, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. The wicked his soul hateth. Said, say unto the righteous, it'll be well with them. Say to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. We're either righteous or we're wicked. God's going to destroy the wicked. Death, hell, judgment, wrath. But the righteous, no death, no judgment, no wrath, unspeakable happiness and glory, heaven, it's all good for the righteous. All right, who's righteous? We just don't know how blessed we are to understand that Jesus Christ is made unto us righteousness. We just don't. He said, He'll lead me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What's His name? Jeremiah 23. Jehovah Sitkinah. You know that name, don't you? Now you know that name, don't you? Wesley, you know that name, don't you? Helen, what's it mean? The Lord, our righteousness. I told that to some Jehovah Witnesses one time. They came to see me. Talk about Jehovah. I said, do you know His name, Jehovah Sitkinah? No. No, I don't know. You don't? I do. I said, I must be a Jehovah Witness. You're sure not. The Lord, our righteousness. We must have a righteousness. Surely, Isaiah said, shall one say, in the Lord have our righteousness and strength. What's that? It's who? It's Christ. He's our righteousness. And He leads His sheep in this path, in this way of righteousness for His name. That's His name. He shows them. He reveals the covenant, the way. Just turn over one page at Psalm 25. Look at this. It says in Psalm 25, verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant. Well, Psalm 85 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Where? At Calvary. Christ crucified. Turn over. Well, listen, I got to go on. But in Psalm 37, he says, the meek will he show his way. His way. And the steps of a good man are ordered, and he delighteth in his way. Christ, the way, the truth, the life, our righteousness. That's his name. Verse 4. And Mindy is the one that, she read this to me a few mornings ago. And the next couple of verses what spoke to her. Like verse 6 spoke to me. But it made me want to deal with it. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you fear shadows? Do you? When you were a kid, you probably did. You know. You didn't want to go and fear the dark, did you? But I think it was Bruce. He's such an honest man. He said to his people, he said, I have a confession to make. I'm ashamed of it. He said, sometimes I'm afraid of the dark. I like a man that's not afraid to, you know, reveal his fears. But why would we be afraid of a shadow? A shadow. Shadow can't hurt you. There's a reason why I said the shadow of death. Right? Death, as it were, casts a long, dark shadow over this whole world. Everywhere we look, people cannot see the forest for the trees. I told you before, but since I've been here this morning, thousands of people have died from something. Not a virus, something else. The death is everywhere. It's all around, a shadow. It's like a dark, cast a long, dark shadow over this whole land. It's everywhere, dropping, people dropping like flies, everywhere. 2 million people a year in the United States alone die. Every year. That's something. All right, death is everywhere. It's a shadow, but the Lord calls it to his people. A shadow. Shouldn't be afraid of a shadow. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are filled with goodness and shall break with blessings on your head. There is no dark shadow hanging over God's people. Death is not a something hanging over our head. It's something to look forward to. It's not death at all. It's rest. It's life. It's peace. It's joy. It's happiness. It's not death. Christ changed it from death to sleep. Did you hear the first message? Departure. He said we're departing this land of death. Go in the land of light. No more death. No more darkness. No more all light. You know what it says about our Lord? You know what James said about our Lord? Our Father? All things come down from Him, our Father in heaven, which there's no variableness or what? Shadow. No darkness. We don't have to worry. God is light. Everything He says, perfect, is light. You can't lie. It's all right there. It's just, come on. Come in the light. But my deeds will be manifest. That's why we come. That's what Christ said. No darkness. Are you with me? No shadow. Why fear a shadow? We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I hate that old song, I gotta walk this lonesome valley, I gotta walk it all by myself. No, you don't. No, you don't. What did David say? I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Now, when our Lord hung on the cross, the song before this, God forsook him. Why? Because that's what he must do to the sinner. But God, in Christ. Since Christ was forsaken, Christ said, my sheep will never be forsaken. You see why? Because of him. Thou art with me. You know what some of our Lord's last words as he was leaving, as he was departing the earth, you know what some of his last words to his disciples were? They watched him go. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. And they saw him go. And they took courage. And they went out, all of them, and faced every fear. But why? He's with me. I fear no evil. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Didn't it? He can't lie. But I can't see him. He sees you. He sees you. We see through a glass darkly, don't we? Dimly. But he sees us. The disciples one time were in a boat. And they were fishermen. They were hardened mariners. And this was the storm in, all storm down. They all thought we're going down. And they were rowing hard. And they were scared to death. Simon Peter. Very little fear, but he was scared to death. He thought, we're going down. We're going down. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? We're going down. Remember, he went to a mountain to pray, and he sent them off. Where is he? Oh, if he's only with us. There he came. He came walking. Oh, no, 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 no. What do you mean? It's the Lord. You were asking for him, weren't you? Here he is. He got in the boat. You know what he said? Where's your faith? I said, I'll never leave you. What's wrong with that? I'm glad he knows our frame. But we're just making ourselves miserable. You want to listen to the next message. Because there's, you know, at torn which message to preach when, I think, well, this is the better message. No, not necessarily. The first one I thought, who do I preach? It doesn't matter. It's all the same. It's all the same one. Our same hope, same peace, same help. Thou art with me. I fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff. Oh, I had so much to say about this rod and this staff. You know how the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt with a rod? Moses' rod. Remember that? He sent Moses a picture of Christ. He said, what's that in your hand? He said, the shepherd's staff. What was Moses? A shepherd. He's going to deliver to me in chief. With what? A rod. No way. You just wait. And see, in that rod, you know, he threw it down, it was powerful, and did everything with that rod. He parted the Red Sea with that rod. He gave orders with that rod. What's the rod of God? It's right here. What? What's the rod of God? It's Christ. A rod of Jesse. Stem of Jesse, the rod of Jesse. The ruler, scepter of righteousness shall be the scepter of his kingdom. This is the greatest thing you've ever heard. It's like I've never preached this before. Brothers and sisters, God reigns and rules. Christ reigns and rules. He's the rod of God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He purposed all things. He said, I've spoken it. I'll do it. I'll purpose it. It'll come to pass. Every single thing that happens, God purposed it. Nothing can stop it. And Christ has it under his absolute sock. That rod was in Moses' hand. So is this world. So is this word. So is this world. So are you in his hand. Rest. Talking to myself. Fear no evil. The rod and thy staff. I should have brought it up here. You saw it. I got a shepherd's crook. Rod. Staff, shepherd's staff. The rod was to do many things. To beat off foes, you know. To smack a sheep and needs it. No, you're not supposed to whip. Yeah, you are. Too. Spare the rod, spoil the sheep. And in that crook, what's that crook for? Because a sheep is prone to wander. They all will wander. They all will wander off, aren't they? That's what sheep do. Because they're so ignorant. They just stay close to the shepherd and everything be fine. Oh, it's greener grass. So what does he do? That pulls them back. Pulls them back. And that rod of correction, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Is any of this chastening you for your lack of faith? It is me. They comfort me. This comforts me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Now, if you knew the enemy was approaching, if you knew that an army is headed to this building right now to destroy us all, would you sit down and have a dinner? Would you? That's exactly what the Lord did. That's exactly what he said. You go into Jerusalem. Lord, they're going to kill you. No man taketh thy life from you. No man taketh your life from you. Nothing and no one taketh your life from you. I do, the Lord said. Now you go into Jerusalem. There's going to be a room waiting, a man with a pitcher of water. I'm the man. And here's the water. Okay? An upper room, a large upper room, furnished. Come, it's all ready. And you go in there and you sit down. And I'm coming and we're going to feast. We're going to have a dinner together. We're just going to rejoice with each other. We're going to eat. We're going to drink. We're going to be happy. We've got something to look forward to. Huh? But the enemy's coming. I'm sending them. Sit down. Rest. That's exactly what he did. He prepares us a table. Right here, we're sitting at the table. In the presence of our enemies. We've got enemies everywhere. We're not of this world, like him. He said, you'll be hated of all men. We're not of this world. But he prepares us this wonderful table right in the middle of our enemies. I love to read the old, where am I? Time-wise. I don't know who cares. I love to read those old seafaring books. There's one particular captain I like to read about, and he had his fears, but he didn't let the men show it. Didn't let the men know it. And he'd see the enemy approaching. They'd be on this ship, you know. He'd see the enemy approaching. He'd tell them, he'd ring the bell for dinner. And he'd have them all sit down to dinner with their finest on and all this sit down. And the men are trembling. They can hear the enemy approaching. The gun's firing. And the captain's just sitting there. He's drinking real quiet. Telling jokes. Aren't you scared? No. I'm your captain. Christ is the captain of our salvation. Set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. I'm going to go ahead and tell this. You'll hear it in the next hour. I got to tell it. You got to hear it. You want to hear it. There was this ship, this ocean liner years and years ago. True story. Ocean liner. And it was in some really rough seas. I mean, it was bad. Real rough sea. There was a young boy on that ship. And everybody on that ship was scared to death. All these landlubbers, you know, they were just scared to death. And this little boy, he had a little toy he was playing with. He just whistling and just looking over the rail of the ship and just carrying on and all that. And people distraught. And they said, young man, boy, what? Aren't you afraid? He said, well, no. My dad's a captain. He wouldn't let anything happen to me. The Lord is my shepherd. He prepares a table in his stand to show his absolute control over all that. He anointeth my head with oil. Anointeth my head with oil. Isn't that Psalm 133? Oh, yes, it is. The anointing of the Lord. Let me read it to you, not misquote it. It says, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like precious ointment upon the head. That's Christ. Ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that is our high priest, went down to the skirts of the garment. The dew of Hermon, the dew descended upon the mountain of Zion. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He's commanded that we have life. And this is this oil, the Spirit of God, taking the things of Christ, anointing Christ, the anointed, our head, our captain, our Lord, our shepherd, and it's flowing down to us right now, hopefully, and just soothing our aching, worried head. Is it? My cup runneth over. Doesn't yours? Doesn't, hadn't it? Now, I'm looking at you. All of you. And not a lean one in a bunch. Your cups have run over, that's for sure. Can you not look back and say, like me feeding those horses and putting that water in that? Can you not say he's giving more and more and more in abundance all that I could ever ask or even think? Oh, but. What's wrong with us? Oh, but what? You forgetting? Past mercy. My cup runneth over. And it will continue to do so. Alright, the last verse. Surely. Do you understand that since the Lord is our shepherd, surely. But, surely. Are you unsure about this? You need to be sure that surely goodness and mercy are following. Right behind us. No matter what it is we face, our greatest fears, our greatest worry, like death. Do we worry about that? You're talking about goodness following. You're talking about mercy following. You're going to shout to the top of your lungs, I'm so glad I died. Oh, so glad. All my life. I dreaded it, I shunned it, I worried about it. All my life I worried about the best thing ever happened to me. What's wrong with me? If we could kick ourselves, we would. Surely, goodness. Why? God's too good to do evil. All things work together for what? Good. Is that just a verse we quote? It's who God is. That's our peace, our comfort. Goodness and mercy, that's kindness. It's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Follow me all the days of my life. Whatever I go through, everything in my life, what follows is goodness and mercy. Just wait, you'll see. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David, how can you be so sure? How can you say that you're going to be in heaven from now on? How can you say that with such certainty? You say, surely, David, how can you say that? Because the Lord is my surety. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my righteousness. And he wouldn't have showed me these things if it was not so. Like Manoah's wife. He wouldn't have told us these things. He wouldn't have accepted the sacrifice. He wouldn't have showed us these things. He wouldn't have given me joy over it. He wouldn't have caused me to trust him if I didn't belong to him. So, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You're dismissed.